Eric Looper is an author for young readers in addition to two series with Scholastic Books called Key Hunters and The Chocolate Lab. Eric writes for Cartoon Network for shows including The Amazing World of Gumball, The Regular Show, and Teen Titans Go. He's also written titles for Scooby-Doo, Star Trek, and Star Wars The Force Awakens. Eric will be visiting the Bookhouse of Stuyvesant Plaza on Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock to sign copies of the first two books of Key Hunters, a new adventure series for readers 6 to 9. Years of age, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Eric Looper back to the roundtable. Thanks very much. Good to see you.
Thank you so much for having me.
I was trying to think. You've been here a couple of times. I forget what the first book was. But
It dates way back to 2007. I wrote a few young adult novels back in the day. Big Slick was my first,
yes.
And then Bug Boy, which is a Saratoga young adult historical fiction novel, and then one after that as well.
So now, Key Hunters, how did Key Hunters come to be?
You know, I was working on a book for middle graders, and it was sort of National Treasure meets the New York Public Library. And I was doing a lot of library research, visiting a lot of landmark libraries. And my editor at Scholastic, Jenny Abramowitz, who I had worked with on The Chocolate Lab, said, you know, we're looking for more chapter books. And do you have any ideas? And so I already had libraries and books in my head. And, you know, we sort of put our noggins together and came up with the idea for Key Hunters.
So the idea behind Key Hunters is and how this becomes a series. So what are we following these kids and what are they up to?
So these young kids, Cleo and Evan, are young students at this school. And their beloved librarian has gone missing. And this new librarian comes along who isn't quite so nice, Mrs. Crowley. And they start getting the sense that she's up to something. So they follow her to the deepest recesses of the library and see that she's disappeared. And after a little investigating, they discover a secret passageway at the back of their library, which leads down to a magical library, which is underneath their school. And what they come to discover is any book that they are able to open, they get swept away into that world.
Which is the coolest idea. We all want to do that.
It's so much fun. You know, when the idea gelled, we just both got really excited about the idea and off to the races we went.
That's a great looking dog. Look at that.
Love that little guy.
What's that little guy's name?
What is his name?
It doesn't matter. My idea, the reason I asked the question is because you seem like a dog guy.
I love dogs. His name is Watson.
Okay, Watson.
And, you know, I always try to get little animals and little sidekicks into my books how I can.
Very, very cute. When you write books like this for, as you were saying, you were doing some YA stuff, you were writing for ages 6 to 9, is there a big difference in that? I mean, how aware do you have to be of the vocabulary of sort of to get yourself in that mindset?
You know, I always try to write as simply as possible to communicate the idea. And so it wasn't a big leap for me to write for younger groups. I think, you know, sort of the inside baseball of it is you turn all of your sex jokes into food jokes, and there you've got a book for younger readers.
I think I can read them in a whole new way now. Awesome. Okay. Speaking of sex jokes, you write Mad Libs.
I do. I love
that. Is the coolest thing in the world.
You know, when I was in seventh grade, I used to write Mad Libs for my friends, and we would just goof around, you know, while I was half paying attention in social studies, and I'd write these little stories, and never did I imagine that I would be part of that universe.
Now, please do not take offense to this question, but does writing Mad Libs, like, does that pay well?
Doesn't.
Okay. All right.
You know,
All right.
I don't know that there are many career Mad Libs writers out there.
Well, that's what it sort of was. But it was sort of like doing a crossword puzzle kind of thing, right? Is that
that's
very
exactly
similar to
right.
it?
Yeah. Yeah. It sort of feeds a different part of my brain. I enjoy writing them because I have the subject matter laid out in front of me. I've got most of the characters laid out in front of me, and it's just about putting together stories and pulling out words.
So you have you've written Star Trek Mad Libs.
Yes.
Which in and of itself is cool.
You know, when they came to me and said, we're interested in you doing a Star Trek book or a Scooby-Doo, or it was just amazing because, you know, as a child, I grew up watching these shows.
Yeah.
And now being able to, in some small way, to be part of that is just fantastic.
All right. Can we do one?
You want to do it?
Well, just like a paragraph. Can we do a paragraph?
Okay, here we go. Actually, we start off with a very short one here.
All right.
So let me find it.
All right. Note this on the log, Rob. We're doing Mad Libs on the radio. Do you want
a writing
implement?
Let me have a pen.
Oh, I don't want you to. Oh, all right.
You're going to give me a place?
A place would be WAMC. Right?
Sure.
And people know what Mad Libs are, right? You go in, you think of different things, and then you ask your friend and friends these questions about a person, place, thing, noun, verb,
yes.
And then you incorporate them into a story.
Into the story. So
okay.
We need a noun.
Phone.
We need a silly word.
Google Pop.
Oh, that's a hard one. Number.
7.
Verb.
Think of a verb.
Do you want me to skip that and circle back?
No, lively. I don't know. whatever. Go ahead.
Plural noun.
Bananas.
Noun.
Pitchfork.
Plural noun.
Scalpels.
Animal.
What are those little things in Star Trek? I guess that would be too obvious, wouldn't it? Because you want a tribble.
I don't want to influence you.
Okay, tribbles. Okay.
And adjective.
Adjective would be... What do you think would be a good adjective? I want you to influence me.
Happy.
Okay, happy. That's a good one.
Okay. And we're going to circle back to verb. Action word.
Action word would be running. Yeah,
there
sure. We'll
go
with running.
Okay. Now we're ready to roll.
Okay, good.
The most famous intro ever. WAMC, the final phone. These are the voyages of the starship Google Pop. Its 7-year mission to run strange new bananas, to seek out new pitchforks and new scalpels, to boldly go where no tribble has gone before. Cue happy music.
There you go. That is awesome. That is awesome. Man, that seems like it would be fun to write.
They are. They are a lot of fun.
And so do people then share the results with you? Do kids and adults, do they share the results with you?
You know, this just came out. This is my first Mad Libs coming out. So I have not gotten much feedback yet because it just came out a few weeks ago.
Does when you do this kind of thing and you're working for all these different age groups, you're thinking, I mean, it seems to me to be a very creative thought. And I can see a blessing and a curse of, oh, okay, we want you to write Star Trek. So you have to be in the Star Trek world. And then for Key Hunters, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, you know, I look at things like writing for Cartoon Network or writing for for Mad Libs as sort of a writing exercise. So I'm given a place, I'm given a setting, I'm given a topic, and then I'm confined to writing within that. But when I write for something like Key Hunters, it's the sky's the limit, and I really get to sort of open my mind and just go with it. So I would say that the licensed stuff that I do, it kind of keeps me sharp, but then I have sort of a lot more fun spreading my wings with books like Key Hunters, with books like The Chocolate Lab.
Tell me a little bit about The Chocolate Lab.
So The Chocolate Lab, came about a few years ago, and it's about a family that owns a chocolate shop in the Northeast, and a new family comes into town and they open sort of a competing chocolate shop. But they've got all these nifty gadgets and cool machines that attract the customers. And so the chocolate shop is in dire straits. To add to the problem, Coco, their chocolate lab, so we have a little play on words there.
Yes, that's cute.
Coco, their chocolate lab, anytime he smells chocolate, he starts going haywire and bonkers. And so he tends to mess up the store, knock the trays down, and run amok. And so the family's feeling the financial strains from that, and they're starting to think about closing the chocolate shop and moving in with their grandfather who lives, a distance away. And so the kids, the children of the family, need to quickly find a way to save the chocolate shop.
That sounds really fun. So, and once you get a series, then you, I assume you get some job security.
I don't know if I'd call it that.
Is that how that works?
You know, it was great because Chocolate Lab was meant to be a standalone book for young people, sort of a scholastic book fair book, and it sold beyond anyone's expectations. And so they came back while I was, you know, just being gifted with the idea for Key Hunters. Can you get us two more of these? And so all of a sudden I had two series to work on at the same time, which was a challenge, but you know, I'm never one to shrink away from a challenge.
And do you write them, do you write them together? I mean, do you write them at the same time?
Sometimes I have to jump back and forth. So it's funny because I'll finish a manuscript or I'll be working on a manuscript and then my editor will come back to me and say, oh, we have changes or we need to do an editorial pass on this other book. So even jumping from Key Hunter to Key Hunter is difficult because they're, each one is a different genre of fiction. So as the kids get drawn into a book in the library, the first book is a mystery, the second book is adventure, the third book is sort of a light horror, and then the fourth is going to be high fantasy, and then on we go. So each time I move on to another book, I need to learn that genre, which keeps me interested. It keeps me engaged in the process. But it's a very big shift when inside my head when I need to move from one manuscript to the next.
Read the book, loved it, thought it was very cool. And then I got to the end, and it said, Eric has written books for kids of all ages. He loves excitement and is always looking for his next adventure. He has fibbed his way into a tour of the ultra-secret PEZ headquarters, right in Connecticut, right?
That is in Connecticut.
So how did you do that?
So when I was in college, I probably shouldn't say this on the air.
As all stories start, when I was in college,
we were...
After a few.
It was not after a few. But we were traveling through the Northeast, and we were in Connecticut. Actually, we were in Mystic. And I said, guys, I think that the Pez factory is around here. And my friends looked at me like, how would you know that the Pez factory is near Connecticut? Like, I don't know. I just remember reading it on the packaging. And so we looked it up, and lo and behold, in the yellow pages, which I don't think exists anymore, was a listing for the Pez factory. And so we called up and asked about a tour, and they said that that they weren't giving tours, that they don't give tours.
It's like a Willy Wonka thing.
Yeah, I would imagine. And so, you know, of course, that didn't deter me. And so we called back several hours later and told them that we were reporters with the Rutgers Daily Targum. And because one of my friends did write for the Daily Targum, and and we were doing a story on the Pez factory, could we possibly get a tour? And they immediately connected us to Scott McWinney, who is the president of Pez Corporation at the time. I lovingly call him the president. And
and yes.
And he got right on the phone and he invited us down and he gave us like a 2-hour tour of the Pez factory, which was phenomenal. And we wrote an article. We submitted it to the Daily Targum, which was promptly turned down. But as a thank you, we did send him a Rutgers sweatshirt and a baseball cap.
That's really nice.
It was
nice. It was cool. And they make the candy and the dispensers there. Is that how that works?
They do make the candy there. They do not make the dispensers.
Oh, okay.
There.
The dispensers are made on another shore,
I would
assume.
Imagine.
Yeah.
I would imagine.
And then they come and put them all together.
Yes,
there.
But he told us some fascinating stories about Pez,
which has been around for a long time.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I believe originally came from Germany, right? Is that true? I think so. I don't know. I'll have to check the Targum. Find out the story behind Pez. The new books are Key Hunters, The Mysterious Moonstone, and The Spy's Secret, and then two new books coming out in the fall. Am I right on that?
We've got them trickling out. I think one's coming in the fall, and then one in early 2017. And soon after that, The Chocolate Lab reboots, and off we go to the races with that one as well.
Well, good for you. Congratulations on all the success. Meanwhile, the Star Trek. Are you doing more Mad Webs?
We're working on them.
Okay.
We'll see how
all
it goes.
well, after that winter that we did, how could anything go wrong? Eric Looper is the man behind all of this. He's going to be visiting the bookhouse on Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock to sign copies of Key Hunters, and you can find out more information by going to ericlooper.com. Eric, a great pleasure as always. Thank you very
Joe,
much.
Joe, thank you so much.
Best of luck. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.